Welcome to the show, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone. Got your host, James J. I am joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Haphagger.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a good one out there. Melissa will be back with us to talk some entertainment in a bit. We've also got some of our favorite things about Halloween. We'll be talking about that and plenty more. But it's a Thursday. You know what that means, everybody. It is time for our Pet of the Week from the Southland County Humane Society. Got our good friend Tim in with us today to talk about that. Good to see you, sir. How are you?
I guess I'm okay. Good to see you guys.
It's a tough question this early in the morning. Yes. I don't even know how to answer it. I hear you. I appreciate the time, as always, and always good to be able to put some focus and some time on our great friends at the Humane Society. You had something really important for us to dive into today, Tim, and I appreciate you wanting to take the time for this.
Okay. First off, I wanted to do the pet a little bit different Pet of the Week thing. I would let... you always have your eye on the pets as we're talking, so yeah. I figured one time I'll let James pick out the pet of the week, or if he's going to delegate it to Seth, go ahead.
No, I love this to James. He's the one that's he's the animal guy.
You know, this is one of the toughest things to do.
Tell me.
For me. This is very difficult. I mean, Nanny and Ollie look great. They are all these animals look amazing. And it's so hard to pick any single one of them. But I do like to put a focus on Tick. I do like to put a focus on these dogs that have been there for so long. Tick has been there for 484 days. Has one of the most beautiful coats you're going to see, and a beautiful brindle coat. Just a four-year-old Mastiff that has such a sweet face and looks like such a beautiful dog. I really would love to see Tick go to a great home, and like all these wonderful animals. So I'm gonna throw Tick in there. Yeah.
Okay, that would have been my choice probably too. So.
Yeah,
all right.
Right on.
We are contemplating taking him to a different shelter, either training or seeing if someone just... Because we do that
changing
once
it
in
up,
a while.
You never know who might see him. That's something that we don't talk. I don't think we've ever really talked about with our humane societies, but this happens every once in a while with humane societies.
Oh yes, we have the network of shelters around. We do sometimes with Oneida, Lincoln, a lot of the other counties, and because they have similar pets that for some reason just don't seem to be adoptable in their area. So a lot of times if we can trade, it works out. It's just finding the right home and the right place.
The one of the last times I got a dog myself, my ex and I were looking for a specific type of dog, and really we're looking for it, like a lot of people out there, for the animal to kind of call to them in a way. And there was a beautiful blue tick healer in Texas that was in a horrible situation and lived in grew up in a horrible situation, and we adopted that. It's no different with something like this, where sometimes that perfect family is in a different county or a different state. Encourage you to look around at other humane societies. Certainly support your local humane society, first and foremost, but start there. Right. But it's never a bad idea to look around and look at these things. And it's something that our humane societies do. I think that's a really interesting note to bring up, Tim. And,
right. It's not a competition either. If someone adopts an animal from Clark County, well, that animal's adopted.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we're going to be mad about going somewhere else.
It's not a contest. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
No.
But we did have something we wanted to take some time to dive into today, Tim.
Yes. I just wanted to explain kind of, we went through, covered like statutes. So, and you know, how poorly a lot of them are written. So I'm just going to kind of briefly go through a few things and point out some difference to your listeners so they kind of can understand where we're coming from here. So this first one is Chapter 170 of state statutes. And that is for who can take strays or lost chattels. That's the title of that one. And this applies, now if you get very, very technical, only to towns, not cities and villages.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yes. And a stray, I'll just read this quick, no stray except horses or mules shall be taken up by any person not a resident of the town in which it is found, nor unless it is found upon land owned or occupied by a person.
Wow.
So that could include cats, but, you know, it's very, the way it's worded, it's a stray. Now, what does that mean?
Yes, exactly. That's a very broad term.
And then it goes on, they have to give notice. Oh, the owner, if it's known, they have to notify the owner. The owner has to pay reasonable costs for caring for the animal. Mm-hmm. If it is unknown, the finder shall, within 10 days of finding the stray, file a notice with the town clerk, who then shall transmit a copy to the county clerk. Mm-hmm. So there's all these other rules.
Yeah,
so basically, yeah, you have to do this notice, but it doesn't say what to do with the animal.
Right.
Right, right.
It later on it goes if it's more than $10 or this or that and what you have to do and are you keeping it for a year. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So and then it gets into the chattels and like we talked about confusing statutes. The last part of this chapter mm-hmm. is for sunken logs on submerged state lands. Now, what that has to do with lost property and chattels and animals, I have no
wow.
clue, but...
You know, Carl and I used to do a segment on the morning show where we put a focus on old laws that mm-hmm. didn't make sense anymore. Like in Arizona, you can't on a Sunday ride backwards on a horse, like afternoon or
right,
you know,
exactly.
those kind of things. And one of the things we found with that, where almost all every one of these did come from a genuine place.
Mm-hmm.
There was a reason behind it. And so I don't want to make light of the people that worked hard to make these laws and put them in place or anything like that. But like so much of our system, we need to go over some of these things. Mm-hmm. We need to rehash some of these things. We need to modernize so many of these laws.
Yes.
We did not have the understanding or the care for animals that we always did at one point in society. Now we do. Now it's important time to go over these things. There's a lot of issues on our plate nowadays. And there's
yes.
a lot of things. And every day there seems to be more and more. This is one of those things that we can't continue to kick the can on. We have to address now. Like, right now, we need to address this. If you're not an animal lover, if you don't care about animals, I still can reach you because you are a taxpayer and you care about money, I imagine. You
yes.
care about your taxes, I imagine. Helping our humane society, helping our laws to be more accurate and to be more to modern times is going to help your taxes, is going to help the economy of your community. It adds up. Everything is tied together. And certainly to those of you that are like us and care about animals and want the best for these animals. It is important to demand this out of your politicians, out of your representatives, out of your board members, out of people that are making these decisions, people that care about this stuff. Ask your politicians when you have the opportunities, hey, how do you feel about animal rights? How do you feel about these things? See where they stand on this stuff, because it is a clear sign of them caring about their community or not, to me. This is that big of an issue where, because it leads into so many things. I'm not putting it ahead of other issues. I'm saying it is so intertwined to other things.
Mm-hmm.
You want lower taxes, care about your humane society. You want a better economy, care about your humane society. Care about these stray animals running around your town. These are important
yeah,
things.
Well, and it gets a deeper as we, you know, I could go on for a long time, but
right.
it also is for this chapter 9521. The main reason is the rabies control, because you do not want rabies spreading around.
Right.
Now, that means if you have a stray, you know, if they can get bit, there is rabies around. Is it, you know, prevalent?
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But what would happen if we did nothing?
Mm. Right, right.
Then it
yeah.
spreads, then we have a problem. You know, and like you just said, if let's say your child gets bit by a stray animal that has rabies, that's painful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Very, very much so.
Right.
You know,
right.
So we have to do these things.
Yeah. Well, we need to keep an eye on them too and make sure that they're up to code, up to date,
yes.
and accurate. Yeah.
We got one last one quick here. I see we're
sure,
getting close.
Sure.
But chapter 174 is strictly just for dogs. That's the title of the chapter.
Hmm.
So cats are not included, just so everyone knows. I've mentioned this probably a number of times on the show. And it's basically what you have to do and license requirements. And this is, now I would say more for cities and villages because towns are covered different.
Yeah.
And here it's called dogs at large. So that
okay.
means if it's found off the premises of the owner and is not under the control of the owner or some other person. Now, in cases like like that, these animals, it says officers shall attempt to capture and restrain any dog running at large and any untagged dog. So state statute, it doesn't fully say what you should do, but the implication is that the cities and villages are supposed to catch these animals and impound them. Now, the only place that impoundment means is at the Humane Society.
Right.
Right. There you go.
So it is covered by statute, and as we had talked before, there are municipalities, we don't know what they do.
Yeah.
They have no contract with us, but if they're a town, city, village, they have different rules, so a lot of this stuff they have to do. This is mandated, the other thing is, really, there's no penalty.
Yeah,
or right. If you don't do it, what's going to happen?
And when there's no accountability in life, we've seen time and time again since the dawn of time, people don't learn, people aren't better. There needs to be accountability. There needs to be something in place for people to not want to do these things or to continue to do these things. This also gives us more attention and more understanding and hopefully empathy of what our humane societies are doing and the amount of things they got to learn and the hoops they got to jump through and all the different things to do their job, to just get through. I appreciate you so much being here, Tim, and bringing a light to some of these things. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
Well, yes. I feel fortunate that I'm able to spread the word kind of and show it's not what people think sometimes of what we do. Yeah, I just take an animal, throw them there. And, you know, as we've talked, some people just say, well, just euthanize everything.
Yeah. Not us, not here. And we appreciate our local Humane Society. Encourage you to find out about Tick and all these amazing animals over there. Get yourself a good dog like I do here, Zero. I got Zero from the Southland County Humane Society here, my stuffed animal Zero.
He's very
here.
Quiet. Yes,
he's a good dog. He doesn't bark at anything. He's perfect for radio. For radio. Tim, we appreciate you. Thanks so much for joining us.
No, thank you guys. I appreciate coming here and giving me a forum.
Every Thursday we have this forum. We have this Pet of the Week for you. Join us every Thursday right in this time slot and find out more about your local Humane Society. Our local one here you can find out about over at 3621 64th Street North here in Wisconsin Rapids. Give them a call if you'd like at 715-421-8701. 421-8701. That is the suspected abuse line to call. And then there is the local line that you can call, 715-423-0505. 423-0505. Or email them, swchs@swchs.com, and that is their website, swchs.com. Be sure to bookmark that page and follow them on social media. We'll be back with more morning show right here at WFHR.
I put a spell on you. Because you're mine.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Nothing more haunting than Screaming Jay Hawkins. Nothing.
Okay, I got to do a quick shout out for the album this is from. It's called At Home with Screaming Jay Hawkins. It is the weirdest selection of songs you've ever seen in your life. Yeah. He has a country song in there. It's crazy.
It's
awesome.
It is one of the weirdest, wildest albums you'll ever come across, and that is coming from a Frank Zappa fan.
Yes.
It is wild.
Love it.
Just a little bit of entertainment. Entertainment news, but before we dive into that, I just want to send a big thank you to Tim over at the Southland County Humane Society. Mm-hmm. He does such a great job with this with that segment, and it means a lot to him, and he just really appreciate the time that he puts into that.
We do.
Find out more about your local humane societies wherever you are living, everybody. Just a couple of quick notes, and then we'll dive into some fun random stuff with Halloween, but the Wayans brothers have announced that they are going to be doing a new scary movie. So
of
those
they are.
Big fans of those. And a perfect day to be announcing that on Halloween. Not a lot of news on it yet. It does sound like a lot of the original cast will be back, and I do believe Anna Faris will be a part of it. And I'm a big fan of the Wayans brothers, but I think Anna Faris is one of the most underused actors in the game.
She is
awesome.
Yes.
She is so good at comedy. She is a Goldie Hawn level of comedic actress, I think. And that's one of the highest compliments I can give somebody. I think the modern equivalent of Lucille Ball for our generation in many ways is Goldie Hawn. And I think that she's right up there with that.
Yeah. I'd almost give you that.
Almost.
So I wanted to go put a focus on what was new on TV tonight because I figured, oh, there's going to be a bunch of Halloween stuff and everything. It'll be great. No. You have disappointed me once again, cable. Once again, streaming services. All of
Are
you
surprised?
No, I guess I shouldn't be.
He gets his hopes up.
I mean, you got Thursday Night Football, the Jets and Texans. That's scary if you're a Jets fan.
That's pretty scary.
But otherwise, Watch What Happens Live has got some interesting people. But then there's the Diplomat on Netflix. It looks like a spy thriller. And then there's a bunch of Christmas movies.
What? Oh, come on now.
The series premiere of Finding Christmas on Hallmark Plus. And on Hallmark Plus, Mistletoe Murders. I don't know what that is.
Well, I mean, that's kind of scary.
I mean, like, hey, Hallmark.
That's the way he said it. I loved it.
Hey, Hallmark, back off. All right? It's not even Thanksgiving yet.
We already accept that it's going to happen in the stores. Why does it also happen to have to happen on our TVs?
I genuinely encourage all the Hallmark watchers out there to boycott this stuff. The only reason they're doing this early is because they've made an abundance of these movies.
You got to show them anytime.
Yeah, but play them when they're meant to be played. Yeah.
And also, you can watch them any time of the year.
Yeah.
True.
On streaming stuff. It's available all the time.
It is.
For lack of a better word, I find this really tacky. Like, I find it really, really tacky and lame. Like, it's nothing against Christmas or anything like that. Just give the holidays their time. We'll get to Christmas. I feel bad for Thanksgiving in this.
No, we need it now.
Now. We have to have it now.
Now.
Man, back in the day, there was like it was only the three networks, you know, basically. But they had something special for Halloween. They had, you know, the cartoons. And sometimes they had, like, the Paul Lynde Halloween special or something like that. Or Vincent Price would do something, you know. It was cheesy, it was corny, but it was fun.
Forget you guys, I'm already celebrating Arbor Day.
Ahead of us all.
I'm just so disappointed. I didn't see any Halloween stuff on cable or anything today.
Boo.
Nothing. Very disappointed by
not
that.
The fun boo. This is a boo.
Quick, nicely
the
done.
Fun boo. What's the fun boo sound like, Seth?
Boo.
Oh.
That's the fun one.
Nice.
So if you are looking to celebrate Halloween and you're looking for some entertainment to do that, it looks like there's really only one spot that you can go, everybody, and it's on your radio dial.
Yeah.
That's right. Today, 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock, we have an actual Halloween special. We are calling it that. And it is going to be consisting of some fun Halloween songs, of course. But the real cool thing is that the staff here have recorded some short stories, some poems, perfect for the season. Make sure you tune in, everyone. It is going to be a blast as you're getting ready for and starting to trick-or-treat. It'll set the mood perfectly for that. So you can take it with, and you don't have to worry about sitting down in front of your TV to do it. You can just go everywhere because it's on radio. And radio goes with you.
Yeah,
that's right. Right in your pocket, even on the Civic Media app on your phone.
If you have not downloaded it yet,
I will be playing our Halloween special while I'm handing out candy at my house.
Excellent.
So anybody that walks up to the door is going to get to hear it. I mean, my phone speaker is not terrible. You know, I mean, maybe if you guys would
speakers at your house, come on,
give me a raise, Seth, and I'll buy one.
Yeah, we'll get some. If I could, I maybe would give you one. I don't know.
You know what? You and me need to go have a talk out behind the dumpster.
they're going to go do that right now, everybody. This has been a long time coming, actually.
Laura, can I borrow your cane?
My parents are doing the same thing. My parents were so excited to hear about this. They're going to have the radio playing it while they're handing out candy as well. We encourage you. It's a perfect soundtrack for handing out candy. Or any of the above. Join us from 4 to 6 this afternoon for our Halloween special. A big shout out to this staff, the best staff in radio, everybody working so hard on this. And you, in particular, Seth, executive producing this. Nice work.
What was I thinking? Anyway, no, it's great. Everyone has done such a fabulous job. It's going to be so much fun.
Did you have something?
I was just going to say I'm really happy that you let me send you a late entry of The Highwayman for the Halloween special.
You did.
I was so, so excited to record that. I don't know why I didn't think of it the first time.
It's all right.
But I got it in. Late entry.
You did a very good job with it, too.
Thank you.
Our good friends will touch on this before we wrap up, but our good friends over at McMillan Memorial Library have a Halloween a party going on tonight from 4:30 to 7:30. We'll touch on that more later. I do want to remind everybody, you also got a concert going on there tonight. The Henry girls are in concert.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I hope I can make it over there.
7 to 9 at the Fine Arts Center. The Henry girls are a marvelous trio of sisters from Malin, Ireland. Karen, Lorna, and Jolene. They are great songwriters and have gorgeous three-part harmonies that come partly from their sisterhood bond, and they share as well as their lengthy musical history. If you want a preview, I encourage you to go ahead and look them up.
Yes.
I went down a rabbit hole on these young ladies, and just amazing, amazing performers. That's amazing.
So cool.
They are really good. Check them out. They're right here in town at our local hub, our library, McMillan Library, Fine Arts Center, 7 to 9 o'clock tonight, the Henry Girls in Concert. Be sure to check that out, everybody, too, if you get a chance. There's a lot of great things going on in our area tonight.
I'm sorry. Laura is the best. She brought the cane, and she held up a note, wipe my fingerprints off first.
I'm starting to fear for my life. If I'm not here after this break, I don't know. Come looking for me.
I love where this is going. I just want to sit back and eat popcorn and watch this whole thing develop.
You know, and Todd's going to be broadcasting from our parking lot. He may get a witness to the whole thing.
Oh, great.
Yeah, the Todd Alba Show is coming to Wisconsin Rapids. It will be live from our parking lot. You will drive by and see their bus. Like, they have a bus, guys.
Yeah, that's pretty
How
cool.
How do we get a bus?
Yeah, we got to get a bus.
We'll get like a minivan.
We'll get like a Beetle. We'll get like a VW Beetle.
It's going to be a hatchback.
A little bug. Yeah, a little bug. Right. Just stop on by the studios here and say hi to Todd and the gang.
Absolutely.
We appreciate them stopping here in Rapids on their tour.
Yep.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Hoping to get somebody on the air with them, too. We'll see how that develops and everything.
Yeah, and that's what time? 10 to noon? I don't even know what time.
12 to 2.
12 to 2.
He'll be here 12 to 2.
Yeah. Thank you, program manager.
We, of course, appreciate everybody signing up for the newsletter as well. That is premiering in just a little.
Production manager. Yeah. Sorry. Yes, newsletter. Sorry, I cut you off. I'm fine. I am like 3 steps behind today, guys. You're going to have to forgive me.
No worries. But listen, we're just happy to have you.
I'm trying to put together the newsletter right now as we're speaking. Right. So, you know what? It's just a little.
Two things at once, you know.
Find out what she's putting together and our great staff has for you at WFHR.com. Sign up for the newsletter, everybody. Takes 3-4 seconds, and it'll keep you up to date, coming right to your inbox every Thursday at noon.
At Thursday at noon. Well, it probably arrives about noon 03.
Noon 03.
And there will be a new article in there from Michael Comer about our local sports. So to tune in for that. I'm currently working on getting that published. So thank you, Michael, for sending that in. You're the absolute best.
And similar to what I was saying with Seth with the Halloween special, Melissa, we really appreciate your producing and production on this newsletter and all the work you put into it as well.
And all the work behind the scenes, too, from Laura and Chuck and everybody that's writing articles for our newsletter. It's so awesome.
Yeah. Excellent.
Check that out, everybody. Keep up to date on what is going on in your community. Buy local, support local, and support things like this. Sign up for our newsletter. Spread the word about it as well.
And then the subscriptions are pouring in, James. Yeah, yeah. So head over to WFHR.com. It's right on our homepage. You can sign up right there.
Yeah, thank you so much to everybody who's already signed up.
Yes.
You really have blown us away with this, everybody. We greatly appreciate it. We will take a time out, get to our news break, our sports break, and take care of our partners. We'll come back, and we're talking more Halloween. We've got some tips from some dentists say what you should be handing out. We'll get into some of that.
Oh, good, because I still need to buy candy.
And our favorite thing about Halloween. We'll get into a list of that. All coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
There's a spook in Tin Pan Alley walking on the piano keys. He's a jiving ghost who can make the most of his rhythmic tendencies. So better watch out.
You're going to miss the Bryan sisters. Love those harmonies. Those are three-part harmonies.
Yep.
Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. We continue this Halloween edition of The Morning Show. A group of dental surgeons is urging children not to eat lollipops or sticky sweets to avoid tooth decay. And that's a very big ask on Halloween.
No kidding.
But they say adults can lend a hand. One dentist suggests that the public can switch to giving trick-or-treaters things like stickers and Play-Doh instead of candy.
Trinkets, yep.
Little toys.
Yep, something like that.
This is something that our dentists have been doing for decades. Yes. You know, you put up with...
toothbrushes.
Yeah, or you get to pick a toy out of the candy box, or a toy out of the toy box or something like that.
Candy exchanges sometimes,
Yes, candy exchanges. I forget about those, keeping kids away from candy is almost near impossible on a day like this.
It's true.
But you certainly can, you know, find ways to, I don't want to say distract them from the candy, but keep them from the candy or limit the candy.
Mitigate it just a little bit.
Yeah. Here are some things parents can do, like limit the amount of candy your kid can downs in one sitting.
Yeah, that's probably the most important one.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be more important to just brush your teeth afterwards?
I'm sure you could.
Because you just need to get the candy off your teeth.
Mm-hmm. That's the important thing, right?
Yeah. Right.
Having them cut back on sweets that can get stuck to their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the stickier candies. That
they were
talking about.
Gotcha.
That exposed to your teeth over a long period of time. That can really really add to cutting out the enamel of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Try to limit additional sugars around Halloween, like push water over sugary drinks.
Gotcha.
That's a good idea.
That makes sense. Yeah.
If you want that candy, you got to drink this water.
There you go.
Yeah, that's boy, but because I wasn't looking at her, that really like gave me my mother in the back of my head. That's what my mom used to do, those kind of things.
Yep,
yeah.
You and me, Pam, we got this.
She's really good at that stuff. Encourage them to brush their teeth after having candy. Huh?
There you go. Hey. Melissa's right on it. Yeah.
Look at me and dentists, we're just jiving.
Yeah, it's a cabal.
And for younger kids, a fun new toothbrush might help with that. Mm-hmm. And they should be sure to brush before bed, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's important to keep those toothbrushes up to date anyway.
True.
Letting your kid pick out a fun toothbrush can often be, encourage them a little
That'd
bit.
Be cool. Yeah, I'm with you. If you got lights on it, that's exciting.
They do have a lot of cool toothbrushes nowadays.
With lights.
Yeah, they do have them now,
I haven't seen that one, but I imagine there is. It's also good to teach your kids about the importance of oral health because you get one set of teeth.
That's
it, baby. One set. You get a practice round. You get those practice round and everything.
Right.
And
then let's not forget about the baby teeth.
Training teeth.
Yes. Training teeth. Yes.
Training teeth.
I like the practice round or training teeth. I like that. We completely changed the verbiage of baby teeth. Those are your mulligan teeth.
Yeah.
Mulligan.
Different parents, different terminology, maybe a little bit of that. According to the CDC, more than half of children aged 6 to 8 have had a cavity in at least one of their baby teeth, and more than half of teenagers have tooth decay in at least one of their permanent teeth. Until there is, and I understand this is a sci-fi novel to some people, but until there is universal dental care, we need to be more and more focused on these things.
Yep.
I understand if we're not going to get, we should have universal health care. I feel it is one of the black eyes to our country that we don't.
Yep.
But if maybe I can't get to that, maybe we can get to universal dental care. Teeth are too darn important. And again, as we just mentioned, you get one set.
Yep.
Other than the, of course, mulligan pair. That you get.
By the way, and if you talk to people who have false teeth, they'll tell you, it's way better to have your own teeth.
Yeah.
False teeth are a pain. It's just and expensive and all that stuff. So try to keep them as long as you possibly can.
Take care of those choppers.
Yeah.
Let's see what we love about Halloween. We shift gears into what's your favorite thing about Halloween, everybody. This is call-in time, 715-424-2600. Not only do we want you to call in, let us know what you or the kids are dressing up for as Halloween. Share your Halloween costumes with us on our social media pages, of course. But what is your favorite part of Halloween? A new poll just in time for Halloween found that some interesting things on this list. And we're going to dive right into it. So and it goes into order. So you want me to start from the bottom or the top here?
Let's do the bottom.
Okay, let's start from
fine.
The bottom.
I'll agree with Seth for a change.
Just for once.
At number 7, at 5%, carving pumpkins.
Okay,
I haven't gotten to do that in years. I miss doing that. I love carving pumpkins.
I painted mine this year.
Which I like really doing cool. that too.
But I also covered one in Mod Podge and tried to put fabric on it, and it rotted. Don't do it. Don't do it.
That's a shame. Cautionary tale.
What not to do. Horror stories with Melissa.
I love the idea. We've had a number of these PSAs today. The star swipe.
Not to do.
Yeah. Haunted houses. 9% of us love those. That's way up from years ago when it was just at 4%. So a lot more people.
Have you guys ever made a haunted house in your building?
Oh,
yeah. In your own house kind of thing?
No.
I did one for the Area Community Theater in Toma. We converted the entire basement into a crazy professor lab.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was actually really cool. We had a TV show that they watched before they went downstairs of how the guy got murdered, and it was very elaborate.
That's very cool.
Very elaborate.
But no, we did a couple times. Once my dad did one after we went trick-or-treating, we went to the house. He had everything ready. Very cool. He did a very good job. And then later when I was a teenager, I had a Halloween party, and part of it was I made a haunted house in my house.
Awesome. Oh, man.
So I have to say that they're a lot of work, but man, when you get them, they're fun. You if you make your own, it's really cool.
You remember that the rest of your life.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, for sure. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I own this, and I mentioned this, and I've mentioned it in years past. It's been a while, I think. But that they tried to do something like this. A great outreach group came to our neighborhood back in Chicago to do this. And they wanted to give inner city kids a Halloween. That was the theme of it and everything. And they even handed out like some costumes for kids that didn't have costumes and everything, and it was almost like a hallway into a room. It wasn't a big haunted house or anything like that, but it was the first experience for a lot of me and my friends to ever do something like that. And as kids, and especially going up in the 80s where we don't have the internet or any of these things, we had no real idea of what a haunted house was. Nobody really explained it to us. And we walk in, and we're in there for like 5 minutes, and my buddy Johnson, the biggest, strongest guy I've ever been around as a kid and everything, he's like kind of, you know, nervous and everything, and he's grabbing me by the shoulder. He's holding me by the shoulders, and at one point he lets go of me. And like a beat later, somebody jumps out of a trash can and I punched him.
Whoops.
I popped him right in the nose. And
that poor guy.
That poor guy was an older gentleman. I still feel horrible for it.
No.
I was kicked out of the haunted house.
I get that.
Right,
I just feel horrible for it. I just feel bad. I feel really bad.
I understand. It's a guy. We get it. Yeah.
Yeah, but just, you know, you got to do the best you can. Yep. You learned.
You learned.
You learned what not to do in haunted house.
Maybe tell kids. Maybe explain to the poor kids.
That's probably true. That's probably true.
Parties. We look forward to the parties. That is another one. 12% of people look forward to those. What about you out there? Let's find out. Good morning. You're on the show.
Yeah, I remember I was a big brother years ago, and I took my little brother and his brother and one other kid, I think, to a haunted house. And there was one part of that haunted house that scared us all so bad. We were all standing on a 1 foot square.
Oh, that's awesome.
All pressed together.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Thank you so much, sir. We appreciate you. Have a great morning and a happy Halloween.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you. Right. Best listeners in radio.
Great that's story.
Yeah, you can picture
There's
it,
There's nothing
right?
like
it.
Bonding when you're afraid together.
I'm telling you.
I mean, and you know it's a safe space, but you're still scared because that's the point.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's still a great bonding experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Parties. We look forward to the parties at 12%. The decorations are at 13%, mm-hmm. number four on the list. Trick-or-treating is at 14%. Still a pretty good number
still
there.
Still pretty high, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Number two is dressing up. 14% look forward to dressing up. I would have thought that was number one. Yeah, I would have thought for sure that was number one.
I'm trying to figure out what number one is now.
But I also am 47 and a little bit removed from the candy. The candy is clearly the number one thing that people look forward to on Halloween.
Candy,
keep
candy.
In mind, this is you don't have a lot of 7 and 8 year olds filling out surveys. This is mostly adults. This is the majority of people
That's
are
true.
Adults.
What do adults look forward to Halloween?
And 20% of them look forward to candy number one.
It's not just the kids.
Nope. Nope.
We like the candy too.
The remaining 13% said something else, like haunted hayrides and scary movies. I've never done the haunted hayride thing. I've always wanted to.
You guys have never been on a hayride.
I've never been on a hayride. Yeah.
You guys? Excuse me?
Oh, you have. Oh.
Yeah. I'm a farm girl.
Mm. Okay.
No, I'm with him. For some reason, I thought the same thing.
2 years ago, she admitted she'd never been on one.
I thought
so
that, too.
It filled me with consternation.
That's pretty... I definitely want to do that, too. Yes. That's one of those things.
Corn mazes, ridden in a hay wagon. Okay, let's put it that way. I don't know if it was...
Oh, maybe it was a sleigh ride. It was a sleigh ride.
Yes, no, a sleigh ride I have not been on.
Okay, that was the thing that filled me with just... What?
Yeah, what the what? Interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. Yeah. We want to, and we'll keep this going, everybody. We want to know. We got a little bit of time left.
I actually have a question for our one of our callers, Kevin, Is he allowed, as a delivery guy, is he allowed to dress up on Halloween?
That's a good idea. Or does he dress up as a delivery guy?
I mean, he's got a ready-made costume, that's but you know, his uniform. But other than that, I'd be curious to find out if he's allowed to do that.
Hmm.
So if you're listening, Kevin.
Yeah. Call us up. Tell us what you're wearing.
Yeah. We'd love to hear from you. And feel free to call us up.
Weird area there.
Moving on.
We are. So thank you.
We'll be back with more Morning Show on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Skeleton Jack might catch you in the back and
scream like a bat. You make you jump out of your skin.
This is Halloween. Everybody scream.
Won't you please make way for a very special guy?
Wildman Jack is king of the pumpkin patch. Everyone hail to the pumpkin king. Now this is Halloween. This is Halloween. 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 Halloween.
In this town we call home, everyone hail to the pumpkin song.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Could not help myself.
Extended edition of the bumpers.
Yeah, I apologize for nothing.
Well, it was your last time.
It was the last one of the year.
You're a big Jack Skellington guy, right? You know all about him. Question. Why is he the pumpkin king when he's obviously a skeleton?
Yeah, it was a marketing decision.
Okay.
Pumpkins are a little more popular than skeletons, so we kind of thought, okay, well, if we're going to really corner the market, I don't
actually,
know.
Actually,
not bad.
It's
I like
because
that.
He lives in the pumpkin patch.
He does live in a pumpkin patch.
Yeah, okay. So, but still, you'd think he'd be like the pumpkin dude, you know, the pumpkin head?
It makes
the headless horseman or something?
100% hear what you're saying. The staff of Halloween Town have talked about this endlessly.
They're working on it.
Yeah.
Actually, you guys, so I read a story when we were preparing for our Halloween show for the pumpkin holiday.
There you go.
It was about the giants, the pumpkin giant,
the pumpkin
and
giants.
How the pumpkin patch came about.
Oh.
And the story was that the giant terrorized, and everybody was so afraid of the giant, and it was made out of pumpkin. But nobody knew that. And so the king, who was trying to protect his daughter because the pumpkin giant was going to come and get his daughter, had said, anybody who kills the giant, I will make a knight. And so a peasant farmer ends up killing him because he was in his potato patch and was stealing the potatoes. And so he killed the giant. The giant pumpkin like scattered everywhere and the seeds scattered. And so then instead of potatoes, it was growing pumpkins. And the villagers were terrified because they were afraid that they were growing more giants.
Oh.
And then the son, who ate everything and wanted, and he was like, well, why don't I try eating this? This is good. Let's eat this. And turns out that pumpkin tastes good. And now, and his mother then turned it into pumpkin pies. And we have pumpkin pies and no giant killer pumpkin heads.
Thank you, Melissa.
It was
Thank
a very you. Rambling, not a
I
concise
loved
story.
I but. Loved that.
Melissa, can you tell me that again? I wasn't paying attention.
You know what, Seth?
I'm going to just turn the mics down. Let them go ahead and work this
let's
out.
Let's go have that chat. Laura!
This has been a long time coming, everybody. We're just going to go ahead and lower those mics. No, I'm kidding. That was awesome. I thought that was really that was cool. Thank you, Melissa.
Fascinating stuff.
I did actually have one more story for us, but we don't have the time for it necessarily to get into. And this
Sorry.
May seem a little weird with all the Halloween theme stuff. I was going to get into America's favorite sandwich. Well, how does that tie in anything? Well,
it's terrifying.
Sandwich.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. I'm done.
I think he is done, actually.
I'm done. That was it for
can
me.
Can we fire him?
Yeah. Understandable. Rightful
cause. The men in the white coats are going to come and take him away.
With cause. Yeah.
Can we just pack him in Todd's bus?
I was so proud of that this morning. I cannot tell you how proud I was of that.
And we're only giving you a hard time because, you know, that's what siblings do.
Exactly. A real quick story here about a Halloween crab that stowed away on the plane from Costa Rica to Denver. And I've never seen a crab that looks like this before.
He's like
orange
black
and black.
And orange. Yeah. And his legs are all orange and the rest of his body is black.
Perfect. Halloween crab.
He kind of looks like a pumpkin, too.
It does. Yeah. I've never seen, I don't know, crabs, I have nothing against crab, but I've never seen kind of a cool
crabs taste
one.
Amazing.
See, I've heard that. I got to try. I got to try that.
They're very good.
Sorry, crab. Sorry.
We do want to remind everybody of a couple of things. one, our great friends over at Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater have two more shows of Matilda coming up. Go ahead and check that out, everybody. Two more chances to see the great show Matilda and this amazing cast. A big shout out to all of them. Thank you to Joe for joining us today. Yeah. Big thank you to Amber Fate for setting that up and all the interviews that she sets up with us. Join them and the rest at Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock, over at the Century Theater in Stevens Point, and get your tickets at CWAC.org, CWAC.org. Encourage everybody to sign up for the newsletter. Reminder of that, go to WFHR.com, sign up for that newsletter.
If you sign up now, you'll get one today, because it comes out just a smidgen afternoon, as long as I can get it together.
Melissa.
Everything's fine. You know what, Seth?
You know what, Melissa?
You and me in the dumpster, man.
The real Jack Sparrow could get it done.
You'll always remember
this. The real Jack Sparrow would be drunk. Well, I am not.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
You're sober?
I have so much coffee in me.
And if you know anything about pirates, we would be smelling Jack from here.
We would be.
Well, I just realized we got two Jacks in the room.
Jack. You know what? Maybe we should go adopt a Jack from the Comedian Society, because they got three of them. Jack, and Jack Stand.
Sounds
good. Well, you guys were wrong. I did wear a costume. I am also Jack. I'm Jack Benny Rochester.
Nice. Three Jacks.
Because I'm on the radio, you can't tell what I'm wearing. Right? So, you know, that's, you know.
We got Jack Benny. I can see what you're wearing, Seth.
Oh, that was good. I love that. That was great. Also want to remind everybody, of course, about our Halloween special going on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
4 to 6. Be sure to join us.
We've got poems. We've got spooky songs. We've got sound effect. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. 2 hours of nothing but spooky fun. Nothing too scary. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
This is some very classic stuff that we're going to be doing. Melissa did a version of The Highwaymen. Mm-hmm. James finally did a full version of The Raven. Mm-hmm. For those longtime listeners, know that James usually does snippet on Halloween, but we finally got him to do
the whole thing
with some music and some sound effects on there. We've got The Witches from Macbeth.
Nice.
We've got a great story that Laura did called Open Window. It's a lot of fun, everybody. It's going to be great.
Oh, is it the... Oh, never mind. I'll find out from her. I'll listen.
You'll
I'll
just listen. In.
Yeah, I'm going to have it on while I'm handing out
That's
candy.
That's right.
And apparently, it's the only Halloween special out there.
It is.
So you may as well tune in.
We're the only
in.
Game in town, mm-hmm.
yeah,
literally.
Yeah.
And I also want to mention the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater Kids are performing on November 2nd on Saturday at 2 p.m. They have this special show where they are they're doing a reprise of their Midsummer-ish that they did this summer, and then also The Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So that's 2 o'clock. And if you didn't already get tickets, you probably should, because these
I was going to say, these are
fast.
Going fast.
So don't show up at the door and expect to get in. They don't do rush tickets like WRCT.
Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, also on November 2nd from 5 to 7, our friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge number 693 are hosting a Nightmare Before Christmas party.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
This will benefit those in need in our community. They'll have at Christmas time, they're going to have a giving tree out the lodge, some tags for you to grab, games, food, costumes encouraged. So the kids will have one more chance to wear these costumes and everything on November 2nd. I love that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure to support our friends at the Elks Lodge and make plans to take in this event.
And James, well, you've got the costume ready. So, you know, maybe you'll see Jack Skellington.
Yeah,
who knows?
I would love that. With trick-or-treating times in our area, Wisconsin Rapids, Grand Rapids, Buren, Nakusa, Port Edwards, going from 5 to 7 today. Keep that in mind, everybody out there driving, and of course, to all the parents out there. Again, Wisconsin Rapids, Grand Rapids, Buren, Nakusa, Port Edwards, trick-or-treat time 5 to 7 today. For Vesper and the Village of Township of Rudolph, we say hello and good morning to them. 4:30 to 6:30 will be their times. And in Pittsville, 4 to 8. Got a nice block of time.
Boy, they
Pittsville.
Do. Yeah. Two more that I weren't on the list. I wanted to look him up yesterday to make sure. So Marshfield is 5:30 to 7:30 tonight, and Plover and Stevens Point is 5 to 8.
Thank you.
And
so.
I think Neillsville is like 5:30 to 7:30.
Okay, that one I did not like go. So, all right.
In Chicago. No, I thought we were talking about like going to
Chicago, the trick or treat time.
And of course, I mentioned this earlier, stop at McMillan Library from 4:30 to 7:30 and show off your costumes. Treats for you at each of the service desks, as well as the all-purpose room. Also a photo booth for a Halloween night pictures. What a cool idea to have the photo booth there. I love that idea.
Oh, and head over to our Facebook page. I'm going to post our costumes there so you can see what we look like, except for Seth, because he had to take the picture. So you don't get to see his awesome,
Jack
what was
Benny.
It? Jack Benny from outfit. Rochester.
Check that out, everybody. And again, the Henry sisters are going to be at McMillan Library tonight from 7 to 9 o'clock at the Fine Arts Center. Go enjoy that amazing concert. Support our friends at McMillan Library and all the great things they are doing over there. And have a great and safe Halloween.
Please, everybody.
We leave you with a great mom and daughter story. Mother and daughter in North Carolina named Jen Bylander and Taylor London are in the news after turning their business into a full-time hurricane relief center. They run a big 70,000 square foot place called Jimmy and Jean's Family Entertainment and Arcade. But after Hurricane Helena, they said they still had water, power, and a working kitchen and plenty of space. So they started offering free hot meals, internet access, showers, and free entertainment for the kids. There is also a free grocery. There is also a free grocery store where anyone can get clothes, food, and supplies. Folks from 38 states have donated or pitched in to help, including our own here in Wisconsin.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Jen Fabulous. And Taylor say that they didn't mean to do it. It just sort of happened because it had to.
Yep.
They felt bad at first because they didn't have a plan necessarily in place. They just in real time organically
just started doing it.
Yeah, just trying to do this. They saw people in need and were like, "Hey, come into our building." And as more and more people came in, they realized, "Hey, we can help
do something
people here."
Yeah,
That's so amazing.
That's great.
This is what happens when we come together.
Yep.
I guarantee you that not only are each of those people probably dressing up as something different for Halloween, but maybe voting for something different. Mm-hmm. But they all worked together, came together, and realized that they are stronger together than apart. Let's keep that in mind. It doesn't have to be a scary time of year.
Not at all.
We can certainly come together and show how great our country is,
right,
and how strong democracy is, and prove to the rest of the world that democracy is the most the greatest way to do
that's
this.
Right. We'll keep the scary stuff for Halloween.
and enjoy your Halloween, everybody. And thank you so much for joining us for this. This is a lot of fun. We'll be back from 4 to 6 to this afternoon, our Halloween special.
Halloween special.
Halloween.
Happy Halloween to the greatest listeners in radio here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.